Good evening. It sure is good to be back. If you would please turn your Bibles with me to the book of 1 Peter chapter 2. I'd like to focus on a couple of verses that Peter writes, of course, to Christians. In 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 11, he says these words, "Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation." Peter is making a plea to pilgrims. You know, as Christians are referred to as sojourners and pilgrims, that's exactly who and what we are. There's a song that we often sing that goes, "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through." Even though we live here now, it's not going to last forever. The Bible is very, very clear that it'll only be here for a little while and then it will be burned up. But instead, if we do what God says, we can live forever. You'll recall that Jesus made it very, very clear to his disciples that he is in the world, but he is not of the world. And likewise, those that follow him are not of this world. The Gospel of John, chapter 17, records Jesus and his prayer to his Heavenly Father. And there in verse 14, he says, "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world." When you think of what the world is and what it has, you know it might appeal for just a short while, but it should not last very long. This is a place that even though we live here now, you know we don't want to live forever, because nothing truly lasts forever here in this world. Instead, you'll recall the Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20 that his citizenship is in heaven. That's where we're looking forward to. That is where we want to go. And if we want to get there, there is something that we have to overcome. Peter says that we must abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. You see, our soul is going to abide forever, even if and when this flesh does not. In fact, John even warned us about the world and its lusts in the book of 1 John chapter 2. Remember there, beginning in verse 15, he said, "Do not love the world or the things that are in the world. For if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And these things are passing away in the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever." You know, a sojourner or a pilgrim does not abide forever, does he? Instead, they travel from one place to another. As Christians, we are traveling from this world into heaven. And in order to do that, we have to keep our body and our soul as clean, as pure, and as healthy as best we possibly can. But you know, it's not always easy, is it? Sometimes the body might want to do one thing when the soul knows it should not. Maybe the soul is striving to do something and the body says, "I just don't think that I can." Paul knew this very well. In Romans chapter 7, He talks about that which I will to do, I do not do. And that which I will not to do, is that what I practice? He talks about, indeed, that internal conflict. And that is something I believe that each and every one of us possesses. But I also find him to give good, encouraging words to the church at Philippi. In Philippians chapter 1, there in verse 21, he says that for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose I cannot tell, for I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of the faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. But then in verse 27, he makes a stipulation. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them the proof of perdition, but to you a salvation, and that from God. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here is in me. Paul says, yes, our conduct must be worthy of the gospel in Christ. Isn't that what Peter said? Didn't he say that your conduct must be honorable among the Gentiles? How is our conduct to be honorable? Well, our instructions should be very, very clear. God tells us plainly in His Word what He expects, what He does not want. And all we have to do is do exactly what He says. Remember that Paul also told the Philippians in chapter 2 and in verse 15, he says that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. This is a very dark world. And as Christians, we need to let our lights shine. Isn't that what Jesus taught in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5? Remember that passage? Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 14. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Perhaps one that's light shined the brightest was that of Jesus Christ. You'll recall that even before, or near the time of his birth, Simeon prophesied that he would be a light to the Gentiles. Luke chapter 2 and verse 32. And then as we come later throughout the Gospels, Jesus says time and again, "I am the light of the world." If Christ let his light shine, being his heavenly Father's only begotten Son, and we as Christians are following in the footsteps of Christ, as Peter said later in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps, we should let our light shine too. And sometimes, as the song goes, as we let our light shine, don't let Satan it out. That's what others try to do, don't they? Peter said, "Others will speak against us as evildoers." They did that to Jesus. They accused him of blasphemy. They persecuted him. They ultimately crucified him on the cross. What about his disciples that were with him? Many tried to find fault with them as well. Or what about the early Christians that were converted and yet were persecuted as a result? You know, we see that even in our world today. Many are being killed because they claim to be of Christ. But you see, that should not stop us. Instead, as Christ continued, He was risen again. There's hope of everlasting life for each and every one of us. And we can share that hope with everyone else. That's why Peter finally says that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. You're the one that's doing the works, and as people are observing your works, notice they do not glorify you for doing the works, rather for the God whom you serve. I believe there are several examples of that throughout the Scriptures. You remember in Luke chapter 5, there in verse 25, we're told about a paralytic that was healed. And when he was, many gave glory, not to the paralytic, not to those that were with him, but to God. Or what about in Luke chapter 17 and in verse 15, when there were 10 lepers that Jesus healed? One came back to say thank you. He gave thanks and glorified God. Or later, Luke chapter 18 and verse 43, there a blind man was healed, and he gave his glory unto God. Things you and I do impact ourselves and others, and we should always strive to bring glory and honor to God. So let's let Peter's plea for pilgrims be a plea for us. Let's stand up always for the will of God and help each other strive to get to heaven. This evening we're about to sing a song of encouragement, and if there is one tonight that needs to respond to that invitation, we invite you to come as together we stand and sing.